The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick Lazarus's sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where the rich man was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. The rich man called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now Lazarus is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' The rich man said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that Lazarus may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses. They have the prophets. They should listen to them.' The rich man said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to tell them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please. Happy are they who have God for their help and whose hope is in the Lord. Amen. During my study and readings to prepare for this morning's homily message to you, I read an old Yiddish proverb that I'd like to share. It goes this way: "With money in your pocket, you are wise. With money in your pocket, you are handsome. With money in your pocket, you can sing well too." Wealth does give a person all sorts of positive qualities, and I can imagine that the rich man in Jesus' parable this morning was quite handsome, very popular. With his fine clothes and sumptuous foods, he undoubtedly threw the best parties, and he was an honored singer at the temple or the synagogue on Sabbath, I'm sure. The rich man also had something else going for him. You see, the rich man had a poor man named Lazarus lying at his gate. And we might think, that's odd. Pastor, why is that a positive? But to have a poor man camped at the front gate revealed some information to this rich man's neighbors. Information the rich man wanted his neighbors to know. First off, he wanted them to all know he was rich. Second, he wanted his neighbors to know that he followed God's law by feeding the poor, for why else would Lazarus be at the gate if he wasn't getting food from him? The rich man, so concerned about his image, saw Lazarus as a symbol of his own prosperity and a symbol of his own religious acclaim. And I have no doubt that the rich man gave Lazarus food from time to time, but it was always from the other side of the gate. The rich man probably even gave Lazarus a job or two on occasion, maybe deliver a message to a neighbor for him, or maybe take an order to the market, some sort of menial task. He did anything that communicated, "I control you." And it was a relationship that worked. It worked as long as Lazarus' health and his circumstances permitted him to do these things, but now Lazarus is spent. He's covered in sores, dying of hunger, dying of disease. Lazarus has played out his worth in order to serve the rich man's desires. Lazarus has played out his worth in order to eke out a survival. And besides, the rich man had his gate. And he never really needed Lazarus anyway, so now Lazarus is nothing more than something or someone to step over or continue to step on. But I think it's important to note for us that I don't think that Jesus tells this parable to reveal that being rich is a sin. Neither is being handsome or pretty. Those aren't sins. Heaven knows singing well is not a sin. But we are reminded today that it's not okay to look upon other people as somehow lesser than ourselves. Christ reminds us today to see the human being around us, sometimes very close to us, who is in dire need. And whether it's because of an illness or socioeconomic circumstance, we can be charitable, we can be giving, and sometimes we can still even find ourselves dehumanizing the other. And it's so often revealed when we throw up our hands and just give up on people. I want to tell you a story about the congregation where I served as youth director in Seminole, Florida, because we had a Lazarus there. His name was James. I often would try to ignore James, try to see him as brief as possible because, well, I guess I thought I had more important things to do. And James would call me on the phone from time to time and say, "Good morning, Tom. This is St. James from the Bible calling," which I would often chuckle like that and say, "Hi, James," but secretly in my mind wonder who says such a thing. But James would occasionally come to church asking for rides to get there on Sunday or ask for rides to help out with the gardeners around the church on Thursday. And for those gardener visits, I would pick him up from his assisted living place where he lived. Someone else would get him for church. And there was this one particular Thursday when I must have been lamenting to Pastor Chip about having to go and pick up James that day. Maybe I was concerned that I wouldn't have the full amount of time needed to ride on the lawnmower. I don't remember. But what I will never forget is what Pastor Chip said to me during my time of perceived burden. He said, "Tom, we need people like James at Good Shepherd." And I didn't understand what he meant until years later did I understand that wisdom. You see, I was doing the decent thing, and I had well-meaning intentions, but I wasn't really seeing James. I wasn't seeing him as a person, as a brother. Jesus teaches us today to see the Lazaruses around us, to remember to be compassionate, to stop dehumanizing, because Jesus knows, chances are, you know someone who is not well off financially. Chances are you know someone who needs some clothes or a bath, someone who is dishonest, someone who lacks basic social skills. Yes, we all have Lazaruses around that we don't necessarily intend to look down upon, yet still do. Jesus reminds us that we need Lazarus. For the Jameses and the Lazaruses in our lives will be Christ to us, teaching us the love of God and somehow helping us to remove the gate that we've built around ourselves. We also, as we said in the children's time, we also need to allow ourselves to be Lazarus, to accept help from others graciously, to receive that help with kindness and thankfulness. For in another place in the Bible, Jesus will require his disciples to accept such a gift as this, to allow even he to stoop and wash their feet, or else have no part in him. And then the towel and the basin of water come to us to wash others. And in that tender moment of intimacy, we accept that Christ is able to see us. For one day, the great equalizer will come to every human, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of socioeconomic status. One moment for all of us, there will be life. And in the next moment, death. But let us not forget that then again, there's life. Capital L, life. And so for this feeble sermon, I so wish to go straight to the rewards of the afterlife, you know, to talk about sacrificing now to get the benefits later. But, you know, that would be my will, not God's. It would be my purpose for the sermon, not the purpose of the parable, for I deeply believe this, that the purpose of the parable is not for us to learn that doing good things will get us into a good place and doing bad things will send us to an area where we burn. The point of today is that Jesus taught the disciples, Christ teaches us, that while we live in this life, in these bodies, we can live in a way that allows us to see those who are suffering around us and then have a heart for them. To stand on the opposite side of the fence, to see the plight and the suffering of others in this world, to turn our backs to help, creates a huge chasm between us and God, between us and the other, a huge chasm, but it's a man-made chasm. A chasm nonetheless, but a chasm that Christ can close. For at the end of our lives, I no longer believe that God is really concerned about our daily sins or our shortfalls. Why should we be concerned about those? God's taking care of them with Jesus and the cross. What God is concerned about is that we not let our plates get so full that we cannot see the suffering that occurs right in front of us. It's always interesting to think that our culture uses that expression, my plate is too full, to mean that we're too busy to help. And it's true that no parable can totally define God's love, God's reign upon the world. No parable can give us the full understanding of God. But today's parable does say this: if we have ears to hear, if we have a heart that is open to compassion for those who suffer, then we are living a life worth living right now. In closing, I want to tell you this story about a woman who sat in the cancer center weeping because she'd been told that her treatments that were prescribed were not working, and that she had told the doctors that she wanted to stop all treatment altogether and live out the rest of her days without any medical intervention, to have a quality of life in those remaining times that she had on earth. And when I saw her weeping as chaplain, I stopped to console her, thinking that perhaps she regretted her decision, or maybe she was fearing death. But it was neither of those things. The brave woman told me, I'm not crying because I'm going to die. I'm crying because I never really lived. We get a sense of how to live today. How to really live. On this day, the 63rd birthday of St. Stephen Congregation, we are reminded of the living that's been taught here from the very beginning, taught here and taught in the future, then and now, to trust that God will tear down the gates, to bridge the chasm that we've created between us and the other, between us and God. God will tear down the gate and build a bridge. The tragedy is that the rich man didn't see or learn the truth that God comes to us this way through both love and suffering. He didn't see it until after he died, but he did see it. We don't have to wait until death to make the connection. The connection that leads us to see how life and death are just two ways that we learn to give ourselves away and then live again. Amen.